then the awful reality of what had happened to Jill for any family member, and I just can't even imagine the horror of when you realise what had happened to somebody that you really love. As a human being, how do you process that information? Even
as I said, like there's a huge. I think human body has a massive defence mechanism when something like that happens. I think when that news was delivered, again there was something in me that tried to bargain. The police had told me that we've arrested this guy. Initially they told me he hasn't confessed, but we're sure it's him. And then I started bargaining with her, saying, well, maybe she's still okay, maybe she's fine, maybe blah, blah, blah. But then when, you know, he did confess, literally minutes later, she got a phone call, he did confess. When that happened, there was kind of, you know, that's when any glimmer of hope just vanishes. And I remember there was an initial pang of anger, this real furious anger, and then just, again, this numbness kicks in. I just think because, you know, your body realizes you're not able to cope with this, and there's a numbness. I wasn't able to speak for a long time afterwards, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, it was that kind of, that feeling of just that helplessness, I suppose.
It's 20 to 9 and on your station LMFM. We've a small budget here at this radio station, unlike the bigger people. So we have got our, what's he called? He's got our science correspondent, and his name is Danny. And today's programme has, of course, brought to you by Equinox. The fact that we're talking about the partial eclipse that's going all over the place, and we go straight over to our science correspondent, Danny. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, hello.
Danny, where are you?
I'm just coming down to say I was in my manager's office.
Oh, yeah, well, hang on. You're not supposed to say that, Danny. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to be our science correspondent. I know, but I thought you were supposed to be outside there looking to see the sun coming up and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot happening out here, yeah.
Right, well, tell me what's happening.
The kids go to school and there's buses flying around the place, yeah.
And what's it like in the sky, Danny?
Yeah, the sky.
Is it dark or what?
Yeah, is it?
It's dull and dark and clouds. It might rain.
Oh, Jiminy, pal, there's not
can
much.
Can you see the moon? Can you see the sun?
I can see nothing, only crows.
So much for Mr. Science, Seamus.
Yeah, I'd say they go.
But what do you want me to go? Do you want me to go down to Newgrange?
No. You're flying, if you know what I mean. You're out there and yeah. So you're not looking directly at the sun, are you?
No, sir. I'm looking at flipping neck looking up at it.
If anyone's passing by, give Danny an old honk of the horn.
Give him an old honk.
They're all gone.
Now they're all gone. That's Danny, our science correspondent. Yeah. Please, Danny, come back in.
I'm looking at Danny on the monitor in the studio. Yeah. It looks like he's outside there waiting on a bus.
The sun's just come up on the first Sunday morning in September. It's very, very early, and I'm on a virtually deserted West Street in Drogheda, heading for the West Court Hotel to meet a group of brave ladies who are going to dip in the nip for the oncology unit in Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital. I just looked at the temperature gauge on my car. It's 7 degrees, so it's cool this morning. So is it going to be dip in the nip or a nip in the dip? We're going to find out shortly. Let's go and meet the girls. I said to myself, is there anybody here? As I head into the West Court Hotel, I meet two lovely girls coming out there. There's a buzz in the place. There's music playing. Oh my God, look at this. Registration taking place for Dip in the Nip 2014. Let's see who we have here and find somebody. Bernie, tell me about you. First time, second time, third time.
First time listening to you Monday, and enrolled while you were on the radio.
No way.
Yeah.
Well done to you. Mm-hmm. That is just great. I've actually got a great lift out of that, to hear that even if we get one from it, but I know there are more here as well. What are you doing it?
I buried my brother nearly 5 years ago, and my father-in-law last year here with cancer, so something that's close to my heart.
Yeah. getting better.
I think what you and your party leader are suggesting is that the mistakes made in this country were made by the Fianna Fáil-led government that took office in 2007.
Michael, the people have made their judgment on that government and they kicked Fianna Fáil out of office, hopefully for all time. I'm not fighting that general election. The people have decided that they were culpable and responsible. We're moving on.
But you were cheerleading.
What I'm saying is what we are doing here. I wasn't cheering. Oh. And in fact, we're very clear on it. As I said...
Well, let's remind ourselves, because I don't know if you noticed the Garda figures over the course of the last week. They're at their lowest level than they have been in a decade. And a decade ago, this is what you had to say to us about Garda numbers.
And what we want is a lot more Garda, a lot more resources in there.
In fact, following the budget of 2006, just before the 2007 election, Fergus O'Dowd, you told us you wanted a lot more of just about everything.
And particularly antisocial behaviour is gone. It's absolutely out of control in some estates, and we don't see anything extra to fight that issue. The other issue is, I think, that they missed a golden opportunity to reform stamp duty, where first-time buyers, while I welcome and I want to welcome the increase in tax-free allowances based on the mortgage interest that they pay, we still feel that a golden opportunity has been missed to reform this dreadful tax. And one issue that we're very strong on is that there ought to be a special SSIA savings scheme to help young people save for a deposit for a home. So this is a missed opportunity by this government.
Do you remember, Fergus O'Dowd, when you were making those statements, when Fine Gael was proposing that there would be no stamp duty for first-time buyers, that there would be laptops for every school child in the country, that you would increase the pension to €300 a week?
Michael, we were left in a very difficult position in government, and we've reversed the economic decline of this country. The Troika have left the country.
The point here is that you're criticising Fianna Fáil for spending too much money. At the time you were saying you should be spending more.
Welcome back, mid-morning from LMFM. Now, 12 athletes from Drogheda's Special Olympics group competed in the All-Ireland Special Olympics event over the weekend in Limerick. All the athletes did extremely well. We're looking at 8 gold medals, 6 silver medals, 1 bronze and 5 ribbons. And last night they had a special party for the athletes to congratulate them on their great success. Let's wander in and say hello to some of them. Where is Martin O'Brien? Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm keeping well.
You came back with a special accommodation, ribbon, wasn't it?
Yeah, I came fourth in the golf.
How long have you been playing golf?
It's my first year.
And do you like it here in the Special Olympics?
I love it. I'd be lost without the Special Olympics.
Well, well done to you. Now, Shauna O'Mara.
Yeah.
Hi, Shauna, how are you?
Great.
I think you like swimming, is that right?
Yep.
You got a special medal in the swimming event in Limerick?
In 25 metres. 21.9 seconds in it.
It was an all-time best, I believe, time-wise.
Yes, it was.
And was it a bronze, silver or gold?
Gold.
Tell me more about the medals you won down in Limerick, though, Ian.
I won 2 gold medals in the running, in the 100 metre, and then the relay. And then the silver medal I got in here, in my neck, is the javelin.
Manny's have plenty of players back. Indeed, nearly every player on the pitch is inside the... Oh, poor, oh, terrible, free by Ballinlock. Straight into the hands of lovely Conor Finnegan. And racing after this one, it's Conor Martin. He tries desperately to keep it in play, and he does brilliantly, Conor Martin. Out towards Stephen Kilcoyne. It's 1-1 here. But winning this, the race of this one, it's Robbie Farrell, the Ballinlock defender. Just 2 players, would you believe, and the goalkeeper in the 45. And now, O'Mahony's have won the free. Stephen Kilcoyne has won the free of his man. And surely now that's it. We're into the first minute of injury time, and O'Mahony's, I'm sure, sense some of the substitutes now are coming out over the fence in front of us here, ready to invade the pitch here. Their team on the cusp of history. What a great competition this has been for Loud clubs. Dundalk Gales, the inaugural winners in 2003. The O'Connells got to the final 2 years ago. Geraldine's won it against the Dublin champions last year. Now the full day whistle goes. O'Mahony's are Leinster champions. They run onto the field of subs. Scenes of great joy here. O'Mahony's have won out by 3 points, 10 points to a goal and 4. They did it again.
This is LMFM News.
Good
Good morning, I'm Ailey Sheehy. Airgrid is planning to press ahead with overhead power lines for the north-south interconnector between Meath and Tyrone. However, alternatives have been found for two other projects elsewhere in the country. Ruth O'Connell reports.
The planned overheading of power cables locally has met with ongoing opposition for a number of years. However, in a new draft strategy being published today, Airgrid says it remains the most appropriate solution for the interconnector. Campaigners are likely to be angered by the news that Airgrid says there's an option to upgrade existing power lines for its GridLink project in the southeast. Local Fianna Fáil Senator Thomas Byrne says he's disappointed but not surprised at Airgrid's decision not to underground the local power cables.
Overhead power lines proposed for the west are now possibly going to be undergrounded, going through County Mayo, the Taoiseach's constituency. That's completely unfair. The people of the northeast now have been treated as second-class citizens with these overhead power lines going through some of the most historic, most important heritage sites in the county. This is completely and utterly wrong, and it's not fair if the Taoiseach's constituents get better treatment than the people of Meath. That's wrong and unfair, and I think the people of Meath won't stand for it.
The amount of oil laundering.
One of the men incarcerated here at Oldcastle was renowned German composer Alois Fleichmann. He was arrested and placed in enforced captivity. Let's have a listen to what we might hear if these walls could talk.
November the 20th, 1914. My dearest Tilly, I'm finally permitted to write you. I want you to know that I am doing as well as can be expected. However, my days here are long and the nights interminable. I feel as if I am now living an existence without substance, without aim. We are kept confined and under constant surveillance. It is frightfully suffocating, not to mention degrading. I find no friend here. Although it is nearing a month since I've been incarcerated here, I still wake in a cold sweat, haunted by your screams from the night I was taken away.
Open up!
Scheiße!
Is it them? Is it happening?
Open up, or we shall be forced to break the door down!
Get back upstairs! Take him with you! I don't want you to see this!
Alois Fleichmann, you are under arrest. You'll have to come with us.
I don't understand. Why? I have no allegiance to them. None. Please, there must be something.
Shut that brat up and get out before we drag you out.
Tilly, everything will be okay. I promise.
Alois, please, no. Please don't take him. Please.
Story about me, Dad. Right,
it's a scary one, folks.
It's a true story. It's a true story. But all those years ago, if you're a youngster going, you wouldn't know what a telegram is. But a telegram was my dad was in the post office in RT. He was the postmaster there. But as a little fella, he used to have to do kind of a telegram boy. So if there was anything happening in the world, the only way you could get in contact was by telegram, and it was very, very simple, you know. A message would come in, you know, you either won money or there's a death in the family or something like that. This is a way off foreign. Before Facebook and Twitter and you name it and all that, it's rather strange. And when the little telegram would come into the post office, the telegram boy, which was my dad, would go off. And for his reward, when he would knock on the door, he would get maybe, it depends on the distance he would have to ride out, maybe 20, you know, threepence. Even to have to explain what a threepence is, it'll take forever. But threepence was the currency. So what happened was that he went out to this house on his bike, and it was a cold and wet and old miserable time. This time of the year was lovely today, but anyway, it was a miserable old day, and he went out on his bike, and he came across this little cottage. And a lot of places have the little cottages, you know, they're still around. And he knocks on the door, and this woman comes out, and he hands the telegram in all his innocence, and he says, "That's threepence, ma'am." "Oh," she says, "thanks very much indeed. Come in, come in." She's related to Michael D. Higgins. "Come in, come in." So anyway, he goes in, and there was, to the left, there was the room, you know, the bedroom, and there, looking at him straight ahead, was the, you know, the living room. That's what it was, two rooms. She says, "Hold on, dear, a second, I'll get you your threepence." So that was grand. So as he was in the main room, there was the table laid out, and that was grand. And the next thing, the door starts to behind him and shuts. So in all his innocence, he turns around, and there was a man hanging from his collar, dead as a doornail, from the,
up from the door. So your man turns around and he just opens the door and runs and forgot all about his thrumpence. You see, what happened was, the mother, there was only one bed, you know what I mean? Your man died and she had to get the house all done up, and he was a slight enough man. So where would you put him? So she hung him on the back of the door until she got the bedroom ready for the wake that evening.
I wouldn't be waiting for my thruppence either.
Oh, no, sure, that's what killed him. The thruppence. You know, there he was. How'd you do, son? I didn't get me thruppence because your man's in the back. And they explained itself.
And that's a true story.
That is a true story. You know why? Because I keep remembering it every single year and it hasn't changed. You know, it hasn't changed. If you've got any stories, give us an out shout. 539-5820 said, loved him, you.
Happy Halloween.
Country Express on LMFM. By the way, we're on Facebook tonight if you want to send us a message. It is facebook.com/LMFM radio. And that is new music here in the programme. Kelsey Ballerini, Love Me Like You Mean It. Now, coming up on the programme tonight, busy-wise on the old sports front, in Oriel Park, Dundalk are taking on Shelburne, and in United Park, Drogheda are taking on Cabinteely, and we will have updates on that around 8:30, so stay tuned for that. Hello to Megan, who was in touch. She said, Darren, any chance you could play Mary Chapin Carpenter's Passionate Kisses? It's my favourite country song, and I'd love if you could play it for me on the programme. We do have that. It's coming up before 9 tonight, and also hi to Wendy, looking for some Jim Devine. He is also on the way. But next, we have the brand new single from Derek Ryan. It's called Cecilia on the Country Express.
To the story of the noise that's coming from works that are taking place on the Viaduct Bridge in Drogheda late at night, as we mentioned earlier on. And whilst I said I have an interest in this story, because this noise that you can hear in the background is keeping me awake at night, it's an issue that was first raised by the environmental team in Drogheda. Now, they've heard from people right across the town, as you heard Michael O'Dowd tell us last week on the programme, who've been kept awake by that noise as late as 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. The noise that you're listening to now was recorded at 1 o'clock last night, which wasn't too bad. But after we spoke with Michael O'Dowd from the Drogheda Environmental Team on the programme last week, we made contact again with Éireann Road Éireann. They had originally told us that they were sorry about the noise, but there was nothing that could be done about it. Ken O'Healy, who's also a member of this team, joins me on the line this morning. I'll turn that racket off for the moment, Ken. Good morning to you, and thanks indeed for joining us on the programme. Residents were also written to earlier in the week by Irish Rail to say that they would try to minimise the impact of all of these works. But before we talk about that, what have you been hearing from people? Because as I say, that noise we've been listening to there was recorded at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, it has yet to be confirmed, but I understand that there was a gentleman left a public house last night around the same time, singing the fields of Athenry, and he was arrested for breaching the peace.
Well, certainly that would be the case, because there is a watershed hour where noise, any kind of works, that would be carried out.
Michael Collins. This is a name I'm sure you've all heard of in your junior or leaving certificate history course. An exceptional leader. He fought in the Easter Rising in 1916 for our independence. He was involved in the Anglo-Irish Treaty negotiations in London in 1921. He was Minister for Finance and was the acting head of government. Was he 35? No. By the age of 32, he had achieved all that I have mentioned. Did being under 35 mean he was unable to help our country? Did being under 35 mean that these achievements were made by an immature and inexperienced man? Did being under 35 mean that he would not be able to be a powerful leader? No. It baffles us that if young Michael Collins were alive here today, he wouldn't even have the chance to be considered as a political presidential candidate. A good leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Chairperson, adjudicators, members of the proposition, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Sarah McKenna, and today my teammates and I at St Oliver's Community College are here to oppose the motion that every citizen who has reached the age of 21 should be eligible to be elected President of Ireland.
And a very good afternoon. We start with Gaelic Games, and the St Patrick's Club in Lordship has been left stunned by the tragic passing of well-known player Eamon Carroll. Eamon, who was 33, died following a tragic accident close to Ballorgan overnight. Just last Sunday, he lined out at right corner forward in the Louth County final against the Dreadnoughts, scoring the second point of the match.
And this is within range for Eamon Carroll. It's out on his right-hand side. It'll favour him with that trusty left boot of his. So Eamon Carroll now, one of those nine survivors from the 2003 team. He's looking for his sixth championship medal today. Here he comes, left-footed from Eamon Carroll. It's going to swing, and it swings over the green spot, over the crossbar. Two chances for St Pat's, two scores.
We're all just stunned. We can't just believe. We can't comprehend what's happened at all. And as you said there, like his family, we can't even begin to understand how they're feeling of this tragic, tragic news. A loss to his family, a loss to his son, a lovely guy, a gentleman from his head to his toes, very talented footballer, a great servant to the club. You know, it's just hard to comprehend. A lot of us here around the complex and just nobody can talk.
We head to Park Tarleton. I was on my way driving to the studio today and I couldn't get Eamon Carroll out of my mind, because a week ago today, folks, we had the Louth County final and Eamon was getting ready at this time in the dressing room with his club St Patrick's for the championship final in Louth, which Pats went on to win, and Eamon scored the second goal in that game. Little did we know, or his family know, that this day, a week later, we'd be remembering Eamon Carroll.
Well, if you just tuned in, it's Smiderini on you with you until 9 o'clock. World music, rhythm and roots on LMFM radio here in Drogheda on the Boyne. And that was Kenny Neal there and Bayou Blood. As I said, I'll be talking to fiddle player, that's Clare fiddle player, Martin Hayes, on his lyrical and innovative style of fiddle playing, along with his accompanist, that's Dennis Cahill, on guitar. And Dennis, of course, is from Chicago. So that's coming off sometime after 8:15. But this is the Smithies Blues Band from Navan. And if you were listening last week, you would have heard them live in the studio from their CD. Let Those Blues In.
Let them blues in now. Come
on. Let's leave the foyer of the church here, because we're just waiting for the mass goers to arrive. And we're going to head now, Tom, up to the bell tower.
Up to the bell tower. 55 steps. It doesn't sound an awful lot. And it's a spiral staircase.
So here we go, up the little windy staircase. 55 steps we have here. And round we go. It's a pretty tight staircase, isn't it? It is. It's narrow and confined. Oh, you'd want to be in the full of your health climbing these 55 steps. We're nearly there. We leave the spiral staircase and the last bit is up this little wooden staircase. So are these steps additional to the 55, or did you count these steps in the 55, Tom?
They're included in the 55, yeah.
Do you hear me a little bit out of breath here?
Yeah, you're not fit.
Well, I mustn't be, because I just feel it a little bit on my ticker there after coming up there stairs. And look at the goslings. They just came up here. Not a whit out of them, not a bother at all.
There's no defibrillators up here either.
Thanks. I feel real assured. Tom, this isn't a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. I'm looking at a hymn here, Soul of My Saviour. I know you know it, and I'm going to put you on the spot, Jerry. I'm going to put you through your paces here and have a go at this.
Are the earlobes of the people of Dundalk really ready for this?
They'll love it. You'll have new listeners you never knew about after this.
I'll give it a crack.
Your ratings are going to go really sore now, you know this.
Was speaking to demonstrators in the biggest march outside of the capital, which took place in Drogheda. Meanwhile, I was in Ashbourne.
Myself and three other mums in Ashbourne set up the Ashbourne Says No to Water Charges campaign back in January. So this is just amazing that we've got to this level. From our point of view, we're not political. We just can't afford anymore. We can't pay anymore. A lot of us are in negative equity with our mortgages. We're paying out USC, bin charges, have been hit on our taxes. We don't have the money anymore. So it is brilliant to see so many people standing together and saying, no, and we're not paying water charges.
The numbers on the street show us that we're winning. We're winning. Look to your left and look to your right. This is what winning looks like in political terms in this country. This is what winning looks like.
Hey! I have never seen anything like this. And people are still coming around by Tesco.
No way, we won't pay.
No way, we won't pay.
Take your welfare charges on.
I'm with Mark Yelland from Drogheda. You celebrated a big birthday yesterday, Mark.
Yeah, big one.
What age are you?
84.
And why? You should be out celebrating, but you're out marching. Why is that?
Because somebody has to do it. Someone has to stop what's happening. Taking the charging people for the water and everything.
Olga and Ray. Hi, guys. Just moved into the area there recently. We're lying in the bed our new house, looking out at the sea. We bought a house in Claverhead. Just perfect. Living the dream.
Well, that is the dream.
That's Olga and Ray.
That would have been my dream.
Would it?
Yeah.
Buy a house near the seaside.
No, lying with Olga.
And won a free kick, and this is going to be important as Hogan plays it over to the near side to Massey. Massey holds on to the control. It's a perfect ball in from Massey. Two players go up for it. Nobody else there to finish the ball off. And now it's with the Dundalk number 12, Rory Higgins. Ball is played off to the near high five. Oh, that is goal!
In a relationship again?
Yes, but it can be hard to meet someone. Like, we were talking in the car about how it's not obvious who is and who isn't. Like, you said you wouldn't always know by looking at someone if they're gay. So
does that hold you back in a way? You don't want to make that move?
Yeah, definitely. I was talking to, actually, one of my friends came to the house the other day, and we had a house party, and there was another guy, one of our friends, bra friends. So they were kind of like almost, you know, nobody really knew them. But he was talking to one of my friends, Jordan, who's gay, and he didn't know whether he was gay or not, but he felt like he was kind of coming on to him. He didn't know, and he was saying after, like, oh, he wish he kissed him, like, but he didn't want to make that mistake because he said he made that mistake before, and he was like, the person was like, what are you doing? You know, so he didn't do what normal people might do.
You know, that's a big thing, even for, say, a heterosexual relationship where a woman or a man makes a move on one another, and you look like a dummy.
Yeah,
you know, if it's, you know, if there's no way.
The walkers were led by Carolyn Callery, director of the Irish National Famine Museum at Strokestown Park, and yesterday evening, Pat O'Shaughnessy met up with them in Enfield, where they had finished the 40k walk for that day along the banks of the Royal Canal. Pat asked Carolyn how long they had been walking for.
Well, we left Strokestown on Saturday morning, but today we left Mullingar at 9 o'clock this morning. It's after 6 now, and we're coming into the final run of a 40k day, our longest day.
A 40k day, now that is, I mean, 40k in the car, some people would cringe at, but 40k when you're walking is an extraordinary walk. And when you think of what you're doing this for, to commemorate Black 47 and May and 1,490 people who left because they were given three choices, which weren't really great: go in the coffin ship, stay at home for the famine, or go to the workhouse. And Major Dennis McMahon put his bailiff with them, John Robinson, to make sure that they got to Dublin. It must have been horrendous for them when you and your modern clothes and your modern footwear are exhausted after only 40k.
Yeah, it's almost unimaginable. And of course, the Strokestown famine emigrants are always in our minds.
The winners of the Ultimate Wedding 2014 are from Louth Village, Bridget Malone and Oliver Agnew. Oh my word, you'll want to see. Let's bust it just to make sure. Bust the balloon. There it is. Just open the piece of paper. We have to do this just to make 100% sure. Oh, the excitement. Come over to me. Come over. Ah, my word almighty. Come over to me, Bridget. Yes, and we do confirm that that's the name in the final balloon. There it is. I see it. That's fine. That's 100%. Bridget Malone and Oliver Agnew. Bridget, come over to me here. I know your mum and your family. Well, how does that feel?
Oh, absolutely brilliant. I can't believe it. Thank you to everyone that voted. And I want to say hello to my dad and my brother and my sister that's at home listening. They couldn't come.
€20,000 wedding.
I can't believe it.
I'm delighted for you. Come here.
All across the northeast, this is LMFM with Katy Perry, who wants to roar. Quick little request to say hello to somebody, actually a pal of mine, a guy that is in my phone as Jerry Power Washer. I only found out today his name is Jerry Healy. Well, that's what he told me.
And then I come in, he knows one of the girls that work here in LMFM. I come in and I said, oh, a guy that knows you, and his name's Jerry. And she said, oh, yeah, I don't know him. I said, it's Jerry Healy. And she said, no, I know a Charlie Healy. Apparently, that's what he goes by. Bit of tax dodging going on there, and say, yeah. Best power washer and painter in the northeast of the country. Here's Imagination, Just an Illusion. It's one of those songs to make you go, geez, I haven't heard that in such a long time. It's 13:35 right now, or if you're going with the old metric system, 1:35. Some classics on the way, including a little 90s retro song, right here on LMFM.